What's up?
This is the Padded Room Podcast. My name is Darian Sexual. Dr. Dale is in the house.
Damn right.
Damn right he is. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest in the house this morning, today, whenever you're listening to this. The Padded Room All-Star himself, real estate magnate, Crackhouse Matt.
What's going on, guys? Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us, big man. How's life in the real estate market?
Oh, if the fucking snow would ever end, man, I can get back to selling some houses. But, you know, overall, it's not too bad. Spring's starting to pick up a little bit. And, yeah, staying busy.
You're breaking my heart, buddy.
Yeah.
We're sitting in Reno here at about balmy 62, 63 yeah. degrees. Sun's out. Serious? And everything, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's...
Oh, dude. We're expecting another 3 to 6 inches tonight. Or as we like to call it, the multiple mics ratio.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's awesome, man. What's up with you? How you been, buddy?
You know, we've been doing pretty good. So I'm just getting now over just being terribly sick, man. I had no voice most of last week,
dude.
So I was catching up. I didn't know. I know you asked me on Wednesday or Thursday this week if I could do it, and I totally definitely wanted to. I just didn't know if I was going to be able to. Last night I was even coughing. I didn't know how it was going to be today, but I have a little bit of a voice, so we'll see how long it holds out.
No, dude, I'm right in the middle of it right now. I don't know if you can tell by the sound of my voice, but I've been sick all week.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking terrible.
Yeah, so no, my wife, being the saint that she is, she works with autistic children who I believe just roll themselves in fecal matter on a regular basis. And then pick up all the bacteria and the crap, and then they just give it to her, and then she gift wraps it and hands it to me on almost a monthly basis.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's what I like to call virus hopping.
Yeah, sounds about right. Well, you'll get used to that once your little one makes its appearance and starts getting into school and daycare and whatnot, man. Dude, that shit comes home, and it goes all school year long.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh. That's something to look forward to.
Yeah, get used to that.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to like wrap him or her up like in a garbage bag.
Yeah.
And poke some holes for the eyes.
Yeah.
Maybe like a mouth hole.
Yeah,
I guess it's going to need a few holes in the garbage bag.
A few in the bottom.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. You know, we're going to have to put some air holes and some other holes. Dale, what's up with you, buddy?
Not much. Just working at the parking garage, getting... graveyard shifts now. So it bounces back from, I've done days swing, you know, whenever the heck someone calls in or needs to take time off,
you're the man.
Yeah.
Have you had to drop the mechanical arm on anybody?
No.
Well, I'd drop it on everybody.
Bam! You can't really drop it.
You can't?
Uh-uh.
What does it do? Does it just work itself?
Yeah. Like
there's not like a quick release on it, so
you can't.
Oh,
there's no button inside. The only thing that it does is when you run one of the parking tickets,
right?
Once you hit the button for it, you know, to clear it, it raises the arm. But if like another car like was right behind the other, that one,
boom,
he can go right through.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you have.
So if you want to park for free in the downtown Reno area,
oh yeah,
you just all you got to do apparently, all you got to do is just go right under the arm and it'll raise itself.
But
now,
know,
let me ask.
It doesn't happen that often.
Now let me ask you this: have you done the thing where you raise the arm and then you run out and hold on to it and see if it'll pick you up?
No.
Why not?
Because.
Are you? Will you do it?
No.
Why not?
Because I need this job.
You don't want to snap the arm off.
No.
Oh, very cool. All right. Well, enough about our horse shit. Let's get into some horror news, huh? So you're on the Xbox One right now, Matt?
Yeah.
It kind of looks like you're on a ship or something because the camera keeps like...
Oh, really? It must be a
Kinect
camera or something.
Yeah. Well, see, there it goes. Whoop. Oh, don't do that. You're going to make me seasick.
Well, I think your camera does that, too. It goes up and down, tracks you, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, the Kinect camera does.
Yeah.
Horror news.
Alrighty, we got a few things going on.
Only thing I've heard.
Oh, so you got something, yeah. Dale? Oh, okay. Let me slow you down there, fella.
That the
what's that? What'd you hear?
There's a new TV show that we talked about, I think, before, but it's already started. It's the From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes.
Series on
the Bandidos Network,
yeah,
or whatever it is, Hooligans Network.
Yeah, so that's starting up.
Yeah,
but I don't even know. Do you have it on your station?
No. What is that? A Roku channel or something?
Something like that. I think maybe DirecTV does.
What else is going to be on that channel?
I have no idea.
Just Robert Rodriguez movies 24/7.
I guess so.
That'd actually probably be pretty sweet, right?
Yeah, the series just sounds like it's a repeat of the original movie.
Yeah, I know it's got the Gecko Brothers in it.
It's a very extended version of it.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think? Dusk Till Dawn series?
I had read actually a review about it on one of the websites, and they were talking about how, like, I guess the guy who plays... Seth was George Clooney. Who did Quentin Tarantino play? What
Richie.
Was his name?
Richie.
Yeah, Richie. I guess the guy who plays Richie is actually pretty good, because they were saying, you know, Quentin Tarantino, while awesome director, but not really much of an actor, and they're saying the guy that plays his role actually does pretty well, but the guy that does Seth, you know, while he, you know, does the brooding thing and cool thing pretty good, he just doesn't have that natural charisma or charm that, you know, that George Clooney brought to the role that makes, you know, just want to watch and see what he does next, so... I guess they watched the pilot episode, and they thought it was, they actually thought it was halfway decent. They thought they were going to continue watching it to see how it plays out, but like Dale said, it's pretty much, from what I understand, you know, at least the first couple episodes kind of play out along the road. Oh, that does remind me, though, that I guess the channel that it's on is the El Rey Network, which
El
is
Rey.
Where they were supposed to be going, you know, at the end of the movie, you know, down to El Rey or, you know, whatever... you know, whatever that was supposed to mean, hell or whatever it was. So that's, yeah, it's the El Rey Network.
Very cool. The Bandidos Network.
Yeah.
That sounds better.
Oh, right. But yeah, so that, you know, I wonder if it's R-rated or not. Do you know if that's...
You know, I don't know. I know, you know, with it being his own channel, I'm sure he can do whatever he wants. They did not say anything in the review if it is, you know, if it has swearing or nudity or anything like that. They didn't pick up on that. It'd be cool if it did, though. It'd be pretty much shit if it didn't.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the major turnoffs for me. Because I think at first they were talking about putting it, like, on the CW or A&E or some shit.
Yeah, I thought so. But, yeah, because I... although, without... it was not Cheech. It was Chung, the guy who was like doing all the hairy pussy.
Oh, here it comes! Go ahead. I know you're dying to do it.
Fat pussy, skinny pussy, any kind of pussy.
Yeah, you saw that one coming.
Pussy, dog pussy, horse pussy. Yeah. You find any better pussy? Fucking!
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
You know, he had, like, what, three roles in that movie?
Yeah.
You had the Border Patrol.
That's right.
So that was pretty cool. About
yeah.
It.
How about this? Lee Whannell, remember him?
Oh, okay.
Saw fame, right?
Correct. He's got a movie debuting at South by Southwest called The Mule. Something about a guy trying to smuggle drugs.
Ah.
Dude, did you hear what happened at that South by Southwest festival?
Yeah, man. Somebody just decided to drive through the farmer's market, pretty much, from what
I
heard.
They go for a fucking joyride and kill a couple people.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
What is that all about?
Dude was hammered, too, from what I heard.
Jesus.
How about this? Lee Hardcastle. Remember this guy? He did the T is for Toilet in ABCs of Death.
Oh, yeah.
He is crowdsourcing a claymation horror film called Spook Train. I don't know how scary it could possibly be if it's claymation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is this going to turn out to be like Manos, the Hands of Felt?
I hope so. That was awesome. What else do we got here? Have you seen a movie called Inside?
Huh.
Matt, you seen Inside?
Doesn't ring a bell.
French film about a pregnant lady who gets home invaded. Fucked up big time. Yeah, it's pretty gnarly. The directors of that are coming out with a new movie called Among the Living. There's trailers up at FearNet and Bloody Disgusting, but they're all in French. Here's what I picked up from them. You got some kids at ditch school go to an abandoned carnival where they spot a killer in a clown mask dragging a lady into the funhouse.
Okay.
The killer spots the kids, and then you get like a cat and mouse thing after that.
Yeah.
But if it's anything like Inside, it's going to be fucking brutal.
Nice. That's cool. I'm a sucker for abandoned carnivals of all types, man. I can watch, no matter how shitty they are, I can watch every single one of those movies.
Oh.
Something about evil clowns, carnivals, man, I love it.
What do you got? You got Funhouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever actually see Clown House, the Victor Salva thing?
No, you know what? I remember you mentioned on the show. I never got around to watching that. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I think they pulled it off Netflix, but it's actually not. I mean, if you can get past the, you know, the butt plug stuff, it's actually a pretty good movie.
There was one recent that I liked that it was on the Redbox. It looked like a cool cover, like a scary clown.
Yeah.
There was no clown throughout the rest of the movie.
Really?
There was like a funhouse type thing where it was a bunch of teenagers. They go to this abandoned camp, and this guy who used to live there somehow followed them, I think, and started killing them off one by one. Wasn't that great of a show, though. But yeah, I saw that, and I was like, man, the cover kind of like false hopes. You know?
Yeah, that's the worst, man.
Did you guys ever watch that that Carnival show from HBO a few years
back?
Oh, yeah.
I have both seasons. It was actually a pretty kick-ass show. I don't know why they canceled it.
That was a great show. I was pissed that they canceled that.
Yeah, and they canceled it right at a cliffhanger, too, where you're like, oh what's going to happen next? And then... nothing.
Same with like Deadwood.
Yeah. Well, Deadwood kind of tapered off, but
yeah, but still, it was a good show. That got
great
canceled.
Show. Yeah.
Deadwood had my boyfriend in it.
Who's your boyfriend? So
you ever watch Justified? Good old Raylan Givens.
Oh yeah. What? Timothy Oliphant, right?
Timothy Oliphant, man.
Yeah. That's pretty good stuff.
I consider that my. My non-gay man crush. Like, I wouldn't have sex with him, but if my wife did, I would be okay with it. I'd ask for details, that kind of a thing.
I know who my gay man crush is.
Hey, hands off.
Have another drink. We'll loosen you up a little bit. All right, let's see. Hey, the 14th was the 10-year anniversary of Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead remake. What do you guys think of Dawn of the Dead, the remake?
Oh, really good. I actually liked it.
Pretty kick ass. Yeah. Matt, you seen that one?
I liked it a lot. I love the original, and I love the remake, too. Bing Rames is a bad motherfucker. I love that guy.
I think, really, the only bone of contention anybody had with it was the fact that the zombies were hauling ass instead of staggering around, which I thought actually added made it more of like a horror film, like an actual frightening endeavor, as opposed to this weird political message.
I really like the ending where they're on the boat. And
on the island?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were on a boat, then the island.
Right.
But yeah, so they, you just saw the little parts, you know, they flash. So like, what's going
on? Oh, they're still fucked, actually.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
That came around the whole, that 28 days later time, where I think everybody decided they wanted to make zombies more than just these roaming around type of deals. So they wanted to, you know, capitalize on, you know, the running, jumping, you know, bullshitting zombies.
Yeah.
At least they weren't running on the ceilings yet.
Yeah, they weren't flying. That's a good thing.
And they
sure as fuck weren't falling in love.
Yeah.
Because that would have pissed me right off if there was like a zombie makeout scene in the middle of Dawn of the Dead.
Well, you said you hated that one where
the Day of the Dead remake?
No.
Warm Bodies?
No, it was a Dawn.
I hate that one, too.
It was a one of the day movies. It was one that you hated. You had it on VH. You had it on DVD, and you like you kind of almost went, I hate him now because of that movie.
Hate who?
I Am Legend?
No. It was a zombie movie. It was one of the... It was Diary of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
They were on the ceilings and...
No, they weren't on the ceilings in Diary of the Dead. That was the Day of the Dead remake. Where they're jumping over buildings and throwing cars around.
But I thought they were like on the walls.
Yeah, they did that too.
Okay. Anyway, I just remember you hating that one because in the
went a little crazy with the zombies there. They're not superpowers. Lastly, A&E's Those Who Kill has already been canceled. Did you manage to catch Those Who Kill?
No,
Matt. You check out Those Who Kill.
You know, I wanted to. I saw it cause it's got Chloe Sevigny in it, who's a I always like watching her because she's a dirty little whore.
She is.
Everything that she does.
Yes.
So I'm always good with that. And it actually took place, from what I understand, it was set in Pittsburgh. So that was going to be pretty cool. But I never got around to watching it. And then, I just saw like you the other day. They already bumped it off after two episodes. So I guess I can go ahead and skip that.
Well, apparently a lot of people are actually pretty pissed about this. But whatever they did in the two episodes was apparently pretty good. I think the main problem was that they were putting it on right in front of Bates Motel. Which, from what I understand, is taking a complete shit this season. I've never seen an episode of it.
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes of the first season. I can't say it was bad. And, Vera Farmiga is hot as a motherfucker. But, something about a young Norman Bates. It didn't really do a whole lot for me on the premise.
Yeah, I think it killed it for a lot of people. Very cool. You guys got anything else on horror news?
Well, not exactly horror news, did you hear about the playmate who put a golf plug in her ass and they I forget which celebrity hit it, but he hit her in the cheek. Now she's suing him for $500,000, I think.
I didn't hear anything about this.
Yeah.
Are you sure this isn't just some fantasy of yours?
No, it was like at some, like, I think one of their Playboys. Golf tournament or whatever. Yeah, she.
So she
took a driver to the ass. Like the guy missed the ball and cracked her upside the ass.
Yeah.
With the driver or what?
Oh yeah. Not really hard. It didn't look like, but yeah. Hey.
How much is it going to cost me to drive a ball off out of your asshole?
No,
I have money to spend.
It's going to be a lot.
Well, I've got a lot.
But yeah. It left like a huge bruise like, on the side.
It showed a picture of her ass?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to want to see that.
All right.
You're going to have to dig it up later. All right. Anything else on the Playboy ass cheek?
No.
All right. Let's move it along to some listener mail. Yeah.
Listener mail.
Did you fart?
No.
You're a little stinky in here. All right, we got voicemails, we got emails. Excuse me. Let's start it off with our old friend Crease, shall we?
Okay.
Crease. Here we go. Subject line.
Before you start,
yo,
I want to say thank you to Crease for the for the shout out, asking me to get on the show. So I appreciate that.
Yeah,
that meant a lot.
She specially requested you, sir.
That makes me feel all warm and tingly inside.
Good. Maybe one of these days she'll request me.
I don't see that ever happening.
She'll request me to not be on the show.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a request. Maybe Darian takes a week off.
Yeah.
Subject line, a suggestion and a recommendation. I forgot who asked for it, but a good horror series to recommend is 13-episode Harper's Island. Anybody seen Harper's Island? Matt, you seen Harper's Island, buddy?
God, that sounds vaguely familiar. Was that like an MTV show or something?
No, I think it was on one of the Fox affiliates. It's actually not bad. I saw all 13 episodes. It's like they're having a big wedding party in some Pacific Northwestern island, and then naturally they start getting bumped off one at a time.
Oh.
It's like a bunch of rich, snotty kids.
Yeah.
And it's actually a pretty good show. It takes place up here in Washington in the strip of islands between us and Canada. A pretty well-placed slasher series. Originally recommended by Nurse Nicole, I think. And a suggestion. I know there are a few pack members who are not also inmates. Can we call us jacketed and non-jacketed wolves? That's it for this time. Crease. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, oddly enough, for the amount of email that we get, I mean, the number of hits that we get on the padded room is actually quite a bit larger than the amount of email we get.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, if you were just looking at our listener feedback, you'd think we'd have, like, 6 listeners.
Yeah.
But we're actually doing substantially better than that.
Okay.
So, I think, for the most part, people enjoy listening. They just don't actually want to talk to us.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I can completely understand.
Definitely.
I can completely understand. So, yeah, whatever. That's cool. Let's see. We got a couple of voicemails here. I believe this is Alan.
Padded room, what's up? I think I said this before, but didn't mean to do it again. You know, you asked listeners. Crap, I'll call you all on a different phone. This one sounds bad.
Okay, I guess we didn't really need to hear that. I should probably listen to these before I play them. It's cool, he called back.
There, that sounds better. Padded room, how's it going? No, I think I've stated my opinion before, but you asked the listeners, saw where Victor Salva has a new movie out. Not going to watch it, not going to buy it. I had seen the Jeepers Creepers movies before. I knew that he was a kid diddler. That whole thing of him being out, that, you know, he quote-unquote served his debt or whatever, I think that's bullshit. I think it's kind of fucked up that you can get a worse prison sentence for, I don't know, marijuana or something like that than you can for diddling a kid. And, you know, I don't like Victor Salva. I don't like kid diddlers. I'm of the opinion they should be shot because they don't get better. It's just proven. They don't. They may not diddle a kid, but there's a very high chance they will reactivate. Like I said, you know, molest a kid, get a bullet in the head. That's how I feel. So, no, I think I'll see Victor Salva's new movie. Fuck that guy. Anyway, that's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Very cool. He makes a good point.
Yeah.
You know, God damn it. I may not survive this show.
I agree with Alan, you know, 100%. You know, it's, I often think sometimes, that, especially when you become a dad, Darren, you look at a whole different light, you know, when anything happens to a child. And I just, sometimes you think about what happens, you know, if you have a child, you know, if somebody did anything like that to them, what you would do to them, and like just the dark places that your mind can go. I mean, last house on the left, they got nothing on what I would do to somebody that, you know, put their hands in an inappropriate manner on my child. You know, it's sick because I watch the news a lot of times, and you have like parents whose kids have been kidnapped or killed or something like that, and all they sit there and they do is they cry on the news and and just give them their sob story. If the news found me, I'd be in fucking full camo, every gun in my safe strapped to my body, and I'd be on the fucking hunt for this motherfucker, and they better, the cops better, the guy better hope the fucking cops find him before I get my hands on him, because ain't nobody ever going to hear from that son of a bitch again.
Yeah, right. Alan makes a good point, and of all the crimes that could possibly be justified or, whatever the case may be, kid diddling is like, there's just something wrong with you. That's all there is to it. Now, I think that there's things that can be learned from these people and how, to prevent it and how to recognize it when it's happening and, things of that nature. There's really no room for argument in Victor Salva's case, though.
Yeah.
Because, if you take Michael Jackson, for example,
yeah,
that could have just been an opportunist.
Yeah.
You have a pop icon, a multi-bazillionaire, somebody who's obviously stuck in his childhood with all the Neverland Ranch crap. And there's going to be people out there that are going to look at him and see a dollar sign.
Yeah.
And, he loves kids. I get my kid in there. I get my kid to come out with some wild stories about butt plugs. I've got a payday. Did it happen? We don't know for sure.
Yeah, we won't ever know.
We can't say for sure. Go ahead, Matt.
I think there's a payday for sure. You could look at it from that aspect. But, we're going to get into it, I think, a little bit in the movie that we watched. Or, for the movie of the today, Antiviral. I think there's some people that are into that shit. I'll have my kid go and just to kind of have the celebrity skin rub off on my family or my child, or I'll send my kid into that and I don't care just because I'm a sick motherfucker and I'll do anything to, suck off a celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that too.
They'll send their kids there and it's kind of a funny, segue into that movie, how, the lengths that people go just to be famous or, get their own 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's true too. But in Michael Jackson's case, we still to this day can't say for sure whether or not it happened. In Victor Salva's case, he videotaped it.
Yeah.
The videotape was found. He was caught, tried, convicted, did his time.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't really make what he did any less disgusting.
Yeah.
And, it's been proven that when this happens, it's generally not a one-time shot.
Yeah.
There are different medications and chemicals that can be used. Castration, of course.
Yeah.
That can keep that from happening again.
Well, what he was saying, though, was with Michael Jackson, though, the later accusations, you kind of, wonder what the parents were thinking. All this had already been talked about years before, and yet they still let their kids go there.
Well, yeah. See, the problem that Michael Jackson had was that he settled the first case out of court, which means he just paid her off.
Yeah.
Now he's pretty much got a bullseye on his back.
Yeah, but I meant, though, in a parent's point of view.
Yeah, I mean,
knew there was a chance of it being.
Yeah,
so I would not be sending my child.
Unless I was looking for a payday.
Yeah.
And if he didn't do it, then... Yeah, that's all that is.
Yeah.
It's just a payday.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm not saying he was guilty or not. I don't know.
Yeah, no. We'll never know at this point. Anyway, now that we've totally brought the show down to a new low.
Oh, yeah.
Matt, you got anything for Alan or Kreese, my friend?
No, I think I won't derail the show anymore.
Dale, how about you, man?
No. It's...
All right. That was it for listener mail. Let's get into a movie, huh?
Fame. Glamour. Perfection. What if you could find it all at the tip of a needle? Here at the Lucas Clinic, we strive to bring you closer to celebrity than ever before. With samples drawn directly from the source, you can be connected in ways you never imagined.
Do you not agree that the mania surrounding celebrity is reaching an unhealthy level?
No, I don't. My clients want to feel more connected to those people that they see in the magazines and on television.
Enjoy.
So far, I've had all her diseases.
must have been expensive.
Is there any way you could spread it? What happened to Anna-Geist?
It's pretty shocking.
Have you started bleeding yet?
Bleeding?
From your mouth.
I don't understand how this isn't considered cannibalism.
You become involved in something sinister.
It's a weird business, Sid.
Bitch, you're all out of breath when people pull up, huh?
Alrighty, we're talking about Antiviral from 2012, starring Caleb Landry Jones, Lisa Berry, and Sarah Gadden, written and directed by Brandon Cronenberg.
That David Cronenberg's son, I guess?
It sure is, my friend. And he fits right into his dad's framework with this bio-horror stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have you seen any David Cronenberg movies, Dale? None at all?
No.
You never saw The Fly remake?
I only watched the original one.
You never saw Rabid? Never saw Dead Ringers? All right, whatever.
So what did you guys think of this movie?
I'm a little under the weather right now, and watching this, I think, made it worse. You know what I mean?
I agree 100%.
Right? kind of made you feel ill. Not like you're going to throw up ill, just kind of like, oh, geez, I think I'm coming down with something ill, right?
I just thought it was very, very boring.
Well, that's why you're not on the show anymore as much as you used to be. You see, I need people with intelligence in here.
Well, it's just... I don't know. I know.
Did
it seem like a horror movie?
It's too smart for you.
No, yeah. I get the whole premise of the movie.
Yeah.
Just doesn't seem like really a horror movie.
Go ahead and turn your mic off.
No.
No, you make a good point. It is kind of, it's considered bio-horror, which is more like weird shit happening in your body kind of stuff. The movie picks up with a young man who works at some kind of a dealership for... celebrity viruses. So the premise of the movie is that in the future, I guess the not too distant future, people are so celebrity obsessed that they actually pay good money to have strains of various celebrity head colds and pneumatic coughs and things like that injected into themselves.
So if this was actually happening, they would be like, say, I want Darian's herpes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. If anybody wants my herpes, by the way, I'll actually pay you. we can work something out on the side. Anyway, now the thing about this guy though is that he's actually making side money by removing copyrights from these viruses at his house and then reselling them on the black market.
And smuggling it out of the
That's how he gets... in order to get it out of the facility, he actually has to inject himself with the virus, take the virus home, do this nasty fucking thing where he takes like a Q-tip and shoves it like up into his brain.
Yeah. That was the most horrific part of the movie for me. I cringed. I couldn't even watch it.
Right?
The full part when he has that long-ass Q-tip and he just shoves it down like his throat, I guess, through the nose.
God damn it, son.
I'm done. Yeah.
God damn it.
Oh. Fuck off, sir. That's no good.
Yeah. So that's how... And then he has like a stolen... some kind of a... Looks like a steampunk machine hidden in his closet that he uses to remove the copyright from the virus before he takes it to this bizarro celebrity meat market.
Yeah.
Where he then sells the virus to the celebrity meat dealer who sells it on the underground or whatever.
Looked like tofu.
Yeah, was that like the celebrity steaks?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You can actually buy those now.
What?
Did you listen to the show a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I remember you brought that up.
Yeah, there's actually a company called Bite Labs that is actually making celebrity DNA steaks and pork chops and stuff. They've got Jennifer Lawrence, Kanye West, who else? Who's the lesbian? Ellen DeGeneres and James Franco right now.
It's actually DNA from the...
Yes, from the celebrities.
Okay,
that you can
no.
use to... Yeah?
No.
Uh-oh, sounds like it's time for a round of Will He Eat It?
No.
Sexual Dr. Dale. Kanye West pork chops. Will he eat it?
No.
That was a round of Will He Eat It? Uh-oh.
With a little James Franco jerky.
Ugh. Ugh. Anyway, so that's basically where our story picks up. Now, this guy, played by Caleb Landry Jones, he's in a constant state of illness, I'd say, because he's using his own body to transport these celebrity illnesses out of the facility. Now, the main go-to celebrity in this case is a young lady known as Hannah Geist. And I thought it was ironic that we never find out why any of these people are famous.
Yeah.
At all. I mean, there's no allusions to acting or anything like that. So, for all we know, they could just be, you know...
I'm just figuring that they would be movie actor.
Either that or they all have sex tapes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Like in the one part, one of the other celebrities, Aria, whatever her name was... I remember during some of the scenes, like, they were posting, like, the nude pictures up. Like, it just seemed like it was, they were all, like, tabloid type of celebrities, you know, just kind of famous for being famous, like the Kardashians and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, at one point, they made one of the guys made kind of the analogy that they're not really famous. They're just taking part in, like, a collective hallucination type of thing. Like, we all agreed that this person was famous, therefore famous.
Yeah.
Which I guess in a way makes sense. Anyway, so the things get kind of turbulent when he gets called to go pay a visit to Hannah Geist to collect her latest illness. He gets to the hotel, he gets a blood sample, and this is like a brand new illness. It's not even on the market yet. So he's seeing a big payday right here.
Yeah.
Before he gets back to his lab, he says, well, I got to get this shit on the market. This is going to make my year. Injects himself with it.
Yeah.
So that's cool. He takes it back to the lab. They start doing their thing. He then gets home, gets whatever it is out of his system, or for the most part out of his system, and tries to sell it. Now, before he can sell it, somebody else already scooped him. Somebody else already got it and sold it. We find out more about that later, but... In the meantime, Hannah Geist, we're led to believe, dies of this illness.
Yeah.
So now our buddy, Sid March, is fucked.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what we get here is a real, a real trip into Cronenberg land, because he starts having these hallucinations where, like, weird fucking wire coils are coming out of his skin and, like, metal grates are, like, attaching to his mouth.
Yeah.
Real nasty stuff, man. So now, our hero, Sid March, is kind of like in a race against time to try to get this shit out of him and or sell it. And on top of that, the guys at his office are all freaking out because they realize that he stole that funky steampunk machine. And he's like kind of, you know, under some pressure there also. Things get even weirder when he tries to sell it on the black market because the guy that he usually deals with can't take it. Somebody already sold it to him. So he takes him to this weird celebrity torture porn-esque club.
Yeah.
Where he meets another dealer who is willing to buy it, but in the meantime they knock him out and then they pretty much just drain him dry.
Yeah.
And we get something very Cronenberg-esque here where he keeps like either getting knocked unconscious or passing out or whatever the case may be, but he's just waking up in different places.
Yeah.
After having these bizarro hallucinations. So he gets pretty much drained dry there at the celebrity porn torture club. I don't know if I'd hang out at that place. I mean, it's kind of weird. You know what I'm talking about, Matt? Where he goes in there and she's like, do you want me to hurt myself?
Yeah, that was, I was pretty hot, I thought.
Whoa! We just uncovered some issues from Crack House Matt. It's kind of weird, but I don't know, man. I mean, well, there's some celebrities I wouldn't mind seeing naked, but I don't know if I want to see them in any kind of pain or anything.
And that was just a sick freak. I don't know. What do you expect when you go behind a curtain and you pay a quarter to sit down in a booth, man? I mean, you're not getting the most stable individuals to go to those places anyway, so you may as well give them what they really want.
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one. yeah, a little uncomfortable there. All right, so that's kind of weird. He gets knocked out. He wakes up out on the street, and now he's a couple quarts short of blood. So he's, I mean, this guy just, he goes from like a basic head cold all the way down to like 3 months into an HIV infection by the end of the movie. He's just basically wasting away. He wakes up, he goes to a coffee shop where he kind of gets accosted / abducted by these two goons. Now, these guys take him in a car to this very palatial stately mansion out in the hills, where we find out that Anna Geist is still alive. And she's still got this virus, or whatever the hell it is. And she's on her way out, but they're working very diligently to try to figure out what's wrong with her and to get her fixed.
Yeah.
They know that he has the same virus, so they're hoping they can help him too, and he can help them by figuring out what happened. So what we figure out, and Malcolm McDowell comes into this, he plays Hannah Geist's personal physician. Did you see those skin graft things he had on his arm?
Yeah.
Those things are nasty, dude.
Oh, dude, that was crazy.
I would not have celebrity skin put on me.
Absolutely not. Well,
if I had to have a celebrity skin put on me somewhere, I'd probably go Rob Zombie, but I feel like it would come with scabies or something like that, right?
I'll be all like Darien right here. Oh, Darien.
Go in the closet. go in the closet right now.
I don't know, Darien. You put Rob Zombie on you, you're going to find yourself 3 weeks from now living in a trailer, having three new white trash hookers just living at your place, drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon all day long, man. There's something about that guy, dude.
You know, that doesn't sound too bad. if you can promise me that, you can sign me up right now.
Have you ever been to Silver Springs, Darien?
No. No. So that's kind of, they take him there. They basically, what they tell him is that she was actually infected with this thing. Somebody put this crap in her.
Yeah.
And then they wanted, whoever it was, put it in her in the hopes that it would run its course, and then they would get, like, the first scoop out of it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So they would have, like, the first rights to sell it and so on and so forth. They didn't expect it to kill her. So they need Sid to find out who was the last person from his company to go in and collect a sample from Anna Geist, because that's probably who infected her.
Yeah.
So at this point, Sid's really feeling it. He's like, he needs a cane to walk, and he's really starting to waste away, and it's just really nasty. He keeps taking his temperature. Anyway, he gets back to his office. He's struggling to make it through the workday, but he finds out that the guy that was the last guy to do business with Anna Geist was actually fired and arrested for stealing the same machine that Sid has in his closet. Basically, he got caught doing the same thing that Sid's doing. So that's pretty fucking gnarly, because that means that he's the one that infected Anna Geist with this shit.
Yeah.
So now it's looking like this is more of some kind of an assassination attempt.
Yeah.
Right? Sid kind of puts that together. Now, the company that Sid works for is called Lucas Labs. Their direct competitor is called Voluntessa, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And basically, they handle like lesser celebrities. Lucas Labs has all the big celebrities.
Yeah.
So we figure out that the guy that got arrested was kind of like a double agent working for Voluntessa.
Okay.
Because there's some kind of a loophole in Anna Geist's contract with Lucas Labs that they get any infection that comes out of her, not any infection that's put into her. Does that sound right? Is this making sense?
I think so.
I think what I got from it, I don't know if we're that far heading into the story, but they, like, Vol and Tesla, I think they patented the virus before they put it into her.
Right.
So that way Lucas, Corp doesn't have the right, the exclusive rights to it like they should have, because once they get it, technically Vol and Tesla already patented it, so when they come out, they get to corner the market on it. It's kind of what I got out of it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'll buy that. So basically Vol and Tesla is gonna have exclusive rights to this new Antigeist virus.
Yeah.
Problem is, it's fucking killing her.
Yeah.
Now, Sid figures this out, and he's the only one outside of Anna Geist's little circle that knows that she's still alive.
Yeah.
So he goes into Vol and Tessa, and they're like, hey, you got that new virus. You need to fork that over immediately. And he's like, fine, just get it out of me. And they're like, well, you're going to have to die. And he's like, well, maybe I can barter something.
Yeah.
And he's like, so basically, we get a kind of a jump cut here, because it just cuts back to her place. Basically, what we're led to believe is that he informs them that Antigeist is still alive and that maybe she can be cured. So the texts from Vol and Tessa go hauling ass over to Antigeist's place. They find out that she's actually too far along in this virus to save her.
Yeah.
So that's a motherfucker. She's probably going to die. From there, we get like another jump cut back to Sid, who is kind of... I guess they kind of like capture him or something like that, or kidnap him, because he wakes up in that booth. Do you have the Antigeist virus? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because you can get good money for that, apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway, he wakes up like in this safety cell type of a thing with these big pictures of Antigeist all over it.
Yeah.
And we get like, he's in a fucking bad way, man. He's coughing up blood and puking up blood. Really nasty. He manages to get out of the cell by stabbing one of the techs in the mouth with a syringe.
That was a gnarly scene.
God damn it. Are you serious?
Ugh. Needle right in the gums.
Man. Yeah, like right in the lower gums area. Yeah.
That was good stuff.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm not a squeamish guy, but Jesus fucking Christ. He manages to get out of there. He makes it all the way to the waiting room, makes a big mess. There's blood everywhere, and then he passes out again. Now we get another cut to where Sid is in one way or another working for Vol and Tessa.
Yeah.
And we find out that, I may screw this up, but from what I gathered, they somehow managed to keep Anna Geist's central nervous system alive in this weird iron lung looking Jamie. Yeah. And then they
pump lots of different...
Yeah, I mean, they keep it functioning, and they're going to release this new line of celebrity virus called Afterlife.
Yeah.
And they've made, like, this skin, like an elbow thing that comes out of the machine, and that's where they draw the virus from.
Uh-huh.
And then Sid, like, gets left alone with it, so he cuts it open and then starts drinking the blood.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much your movie, right?
Yeah.
Matt, am I forgetting anything here, buddy?
No, I think that's about right. I just remember Arvid, who was the meat market guy, him saying something early on in the episode or in the show about how, like, one day they'll be able to grow like a full celebrity rather than just the meat from the cells. So I didn't know if it was like they kept her central nervous system alive or just from her cells. They were kind of starting to be able to recreate her just in that test tube type of a deal.
Well, when he opens like the where the head might be in this thing, you see like Anna Geist's face, but it's all kind of
distorted and everything.
Yeah, it's all fucked up, man. God damn it. this is a classic Cronenberg, by the way.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like all of his movies, they get into this weird biochemical situation where it's like all like technically in this movie, there's only a kill count of one.
Yeah.
But I think with all the weird bio crap, it just really made my skin crawl a little bit. What'd you think of this one, Dale?
I was kind of bored.
Yeah, well, Matt?
You know, it was a creepy movie. I'll be honest, the styling of it made it a little hard to follow at times because they were so worried about the styling. Like, everything was stark white. Like, they really wanted to give it that dystopia feel. You know, so you could tell it was a little bit, you wanted to make it feel a little futuristic and not like the exact world we're in now. So everything was real, like, stark white, contrasting colors, and then, you know, and then just had that kind of that seedy underworld feel when you were, you know, when you were talking with the meat market guy and a few other things. So it made it, the story a little hard to follow at times. You know, I'll be honest, in the end, I didn't care, you know, and, I didn't like the main character all that much. I don't know. He seemed like just a wormy little bastard to me. So I would have liked to have seen him get his comeuppance.
Well, I think if you look at the fucking shit that he put himself through, just with all the illnesses and the viruses, I think that he took a pretty good beating throughout the entire movie. His ass kicked all that. Jesus. Like the movie. Like I said, I felt like it was classic Cronenberg. At the beginning, right before we get the part where he's trying to sell the Antigeist virus to the kid, one of the young ladies in the waiting room is talking about a different celebrity who packs his foreskin with spices to torment his lovers.
Yeah.
I caught that.
Yeah. Now, I don't know where you guys sit on the cut or uncut bench, but I am definitely on the cut side. But if I wasn't, I don't think I would put anything in my fucking foreskin.
Yeah.
That's bad news, man.
Why would you do that?
That sounds like an infection waiting to happen on my side.
Jesus.
That's no good. I shouldn't do it. You know, I'll be honest with this movie. I was waiting for a little bit more of a... I thought it was going to make more of a statement. Like, I could see through the movie, like, it was a play on, you know, kind of celebrity culture kind of taken to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for there to be kind of a, like an overlying message in the end, and it just didn't seem like there was. Like, you know, the main character, Sid, you know, was a fan. You know, he seemed like he was a little bit obsessed, not obsessed, but, you know, infatuated with Hannah Geist, and so that's why he started drinking the blood at the end. I was kind of waiting for, more of a message, you know, like Romero always has that overlying message in his movies about the zombies, not just about zombies. I was waiting for kind of something, the same thing here, because he had it so overly stylized, I just figured there would have been something a little more. It wasn't a bad movie, you know, it was a little longer than I think it needed to be, like I tend to be, but you know, overall, really, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I think it was worth a watch.
Yeah, it definitely... Any movie that kind of has that effect on me is I'll give it a thumbs up either way. The one kid paid top dollar for celebrity herpes. Now, here's the thing. I don't mind some celebrity herpes, but if I'm going to get them, I'm going to want to fuck a celebrity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like the one upside to an STD.
Yeah.
Hey, you got chlamydia. Yeah, but at least I got laid. I didn't go somewhere and get a shot in my arm, you fucking assholes. And I didn't have to fucking pay for it either. I felt that there was kind of a social commentary in this one. And that's that people are paying for these diseases and these infections, but it's really more of a social disease that they already have. And that's their infatuation / obsession with these celebrities. Now, I likes me some Rob Zombie and Eli Roth. I don't feel the need to ingest them or have part of their DNA in me or any of that shit. Although if they're listening and they'd like to put some DNA in me, we can certainly work that out.
Oh, please. We know what you and Eli Roth would do behind closed doors.
Yes, we do. the celebrity meat market thing. It looks like that's actually happening with our friends over at Bite Lab.
Ah.
Did you catch the cell cultures that the meat market guy was growing? He had that growing lab thing.
You're putting the liquid in it.
Yeah. It's like looked like fucking meat spider webs or something, right?
Yeah, it was
nasty.
Gnarly. Like it was like on two ends, like with like a spindle, like it's the lamb that you cut when you're cutting meat for a gyro sandwich or something like
yeah,
that. Like,
yeah,
yeah. Knife and slice some off, man.
The Brazilian steakhouse looked nasty. The grossest part about the celebrity meats is that they're like that sickly gray color.
Yeah.
I wouldn't eat that. It looks like something that came out of the lint trap in my dryer.
Hey, the one character brought up a good point, though. How is that not cannibalism?
That's a good point. He right after he said that, he said it had something to do with celebrity muscle tissue and not actually ever being alive or something like that.
It's human muscle tissue. It's cannibalism as far as I'm concerned.
I tend to agree, although I probably would try it just to say I tried it. And if it's good, then I'm probably going to want some more.
Wait a minute. I'm staying away from you.
Come over here, big guy.
No.
You could lose a few pounds. let's see here. The movie is making me squeamish. That right after Sid gets the Anna Geist virus, he gets that weird rash on his arm.
Yeah.
And then when they capture him, they pull a bunch of blood out of him, and then they use that weird device to like pull.
Oh, that little drill.
Yeah, dude.
Oh.
It pulls like a perfect circle of skin right out of his rash.
Yeah.
Fucking what? Come on. That's gross. God damn it, Dale.
You need a sample.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Some scrapings would probably work just as well. Celebrity torture porn clubs. I knew she was still alive. Celebrity skin grafts. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got on the antiviral. I dug it. Dale's not smart enough to dig it. Matt says, whatever. I say check it out. If you like David Cronenberg, Matt, have you seen any of David Cronenberg stuff?
Name me some of his flicks again.
He did the Fly remake with Jeff Goldblum. That's probably his most popular. He did Dead Ringers, Rabid, some other stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure I have. It's just not.
He gets really heavy into the bio horror, just like we saw with this stuff, and that's why you can really see the influences here from his old man.
I dig the bio horror. I think it's simple things can. I mean, you know, we've seen people get beheaded and everything ripped out of them, but when all you do is take a giant Q-tip and stick it down your nose, and that's enough to give me the fucking heebie-jeebies.
God damn it, son. He also did A History of Violence, Eastern Promises, which was a pretty good movie. Spider, Existence.
I'm sure I saw the Fly remake. It's just been so damn long.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. It's along the same vein, so if you want to get creeped out, check out Antiviral from 2012 or any of David Cronenberg stuff. In the meantime, gentlemen, let's take a little break and come back with some other stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Fibolos about their pension checks. You kick them when they're down. You tell them God is coming. You work the lowly souls. 800 numbers running. You sell what you repossess. You clean them out their nests. You wait for them to try to rest and yank it out their chest. You sell them medicine. You make them think they need. You come around the flowers, but use a dirty weed. Like serpents and snakes, they rattle and bite. Whatever it takes, they get what they like. Always they fake it, though it ain't right. Your money, they make it, then gone in the night. And make no mistake, they do got a heart. It's blacker than coal and hard as a rock. Don't quiver or shake when they taking part in breaking apart who swim with the sharks.
Pick in the eyes, pick in the brain. Because you're wretchedly sick and deranged. Cause you's a vulture, a wicked vulture. Pick at the heart, pick at the soul. Pick them and drag them down into your hole. Cause you's a vulture, a wicked vulture.
You cut the fingers off if there's a race to let them. Even if they come in cursed, you still want them. You promised big things, it's headed for next year. But then you disappear,
as soon as the check's clear. You lash out at the poor and tell them to give you more. Sell everything off for the church. Sleep on the floor. You point the juiciest necks out to all the vampires. But lurking in the dark, you might get bit by spiders. Lizards and bugs, flies and mosquitoes, hookers with drugs and dirty ass needles, alleyway cats, possums and rats, killers with gats, attacking with bats. They scums, bumps, as anything comes and goes. They pimps with tons of hoes, dirty like all of those, I suppose, cause wicked's the way that they chose.
Pick at the eyes, pick at the brain, because you're wretchedly sick and deranged.
Cause you's a vulture, a wicked vulture.
Pick at the heart, pick at the soul, pick them and drag them down into your hole.
Cause you's a vulture, a wicked vulture.
Go away, Doc, leave him alone.
When will we die?
I'll be at home.
Who gets his car?
Who gets the crib?
Those are his pills?
I'm popping the lid.
I give him a week.
What do I get?
Put me in his will.
He's moving again.
Sign it like him.
Caught off that beat.
There go his morphine.
That shit is sweet.
Give me a hit.
The preacher called.
He's trying to get paid.
Who's feeding his dog?
Fuck that dog.
It's beeping again.
Whoa, that morphine's kicking in.
What about his money?
He wants the church to have it.
How long till he dies?
Let's check his wallet.
Let's pull the plug.
Do you think he can hear?
He's fucking dying.
He doesn't care.
Like serpents and snakes, they rattle and bite. Whenever it takes, they get what they like. And they gonna hide, and they gonna run. But they gonna suffer some kind of a run. And make no mistake, they do got a heart. It's blacker than coal and hard as a rock. They gonna visit the carnival grounds. And they gonna perish, we promise you now.
Pick at the eyes, pick at the brain. Because you're wretchedly sick and deranged.
Cause you's a vulture, a wicked vulture.
Pick at the heart, pick at the soul. Pick them and drag them down into your hole.
Cause you's a vulture, a wicked vulture.
Pick at the eyes, pick at the brain. Because you're wretchedly sick and deranged.
Cause you's a vulture, a wicked vulture.
Pick at the heart, pick at the soul. Pick them and drag them down into your hole.
Cause you's a vulture, a wicked vulture.
Anatomy of Anthology.
Alrighty, we're back. As requested, Crackhouse Matt sitting in on the Anatomy of Anthology, talking about Terror Tract from 2000.
Yes, sir.
You get a chance to watch this one, Matt?
I did. I actually watched it this morning. I couldn't find it streaming anywhere, but I was able to find it on YouTube.
YouTube, yeah. That's where I had to go, too. Dale, you watch this one?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I enjoy me some Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
Normally. This one, a little bit of a tough pill to swallow for me. What do we got? We got three stories. Well, basically, all right. So you have like the wraparound is John Ritter. And he's a real estate agent trying to sell these three properties.
Yeah.
But he can't seem to do it because each one of these properties has like a weird backstory.
Yeah.
And then there's like some kind of a weird connotation that somebody has his family or something. And if he can't sell one of the properties, something terrible is going to happen. So that's kind of neat. The first property that he goes to, that's the one with the cheating wife.
Yeah.
Now, this one I kind of felt was like a ripoff of Something to Tide You Over from Creepshow.
Yeah.
What do you
think? Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. Basically, you have...
Very familiar.
What's that?
I was saying, yeah, I felt very familiar.
Yeah. Basically, you have a cheating whore wife. Well, her husband seems like kind of a prick also, but he's like a blue collar or a white collar guy.
Yeah.
He's going away on business. The white trash boyfriend comes over to bang the hot wife. Husband comes back with a shotgun. There's a little bit of a struggle ensues. They manage to kill the husband. And instead of doing the right thing, which is calling the police, they decide to just hide the body and play it by ear.
How worthless was that husband, though, that caught them? He had the wife in the noose. The guy, you know, he had the shotgun pointed at him. The guy literally pulls the rug out from underneath of him. So he can't kill him that way. He gets back control, and he goes on top of the wife to try to strangle her, and he ends up, how do you have your wife in a noose, a shotgun pointed at somebody, and you still lose that fight?
What it is, Matt, is monologuing. if you're getting ready to kick somebody's ass, don't stop to tell them how and why and when and all that shit. Just lay on the ass whipping. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't fuck around with the monologuing. That'll get you beat up. And so now we have these two somewhat jilted young lovers, and we find out that the husband's best friend is a cop, and they were supposed to go fishing, so he keeps sniffing around trying to find the husband. They actually get rid of the body, stick it in the bottom of, what, some kind of a lake or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good, but then we realize that they forgot to move his car, and they can't move his car because they can't find the keys, so we surmise that the keys are still on the dead body at the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
The white trash boyfriend goes to the bottom of the lake to try to find the keys. Dead husband comes alive and, I guess, either drowns him or strangles him or something.
Yeah.
Right? Then we get a... now the hot young wife is at home alone, and she's been having these weird visions of the husband coming back and fucking with her.
Well, actually, it doesn't happen all that way, though.
What?
Right? Because now that she's having that, and she thinks that her husband's at the door. So when she opens the door, she shoots him, but it's actually her guy she cheated with, right?
That comes a little later, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously what happened in the lake wasn't real.
You don't think so?
Not if he was shot by her. She shot him.
Unless he became a zombie.
I don't think that happened.
It could happen. Get zombified by a dead husband.
I think maybe that was a nightmare for her.
You think so?
Yeah.
So you think he just went and got the keys and everything was fine and then he came back? Oh, it could be. I wasn't thinking that much into it, but if you say so. Anyway, so pretty much like Dale said, I mean, she's having all these terrible nightmares and visions of what presumably a guilty conscience. Boyfriend comes back and she blows him away with a shotgun. And then she kind of gets into this weird struggle with who she believes to be the dead husband, ends up getting hung.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. What do you think of this one, dude?
That was interesting, especially like at the end when they said, she's covered in slime. Where did the slime come from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt, what'd you think of this one, buddy?
I thought it was my least favorite of the three, for sure. I think the insinuation at the end was she was all wet and covered with slime, you know, i.e. the husband did come back from the lake and finish the job of hanging her.
Right.
You know, I find that difficult to believe because the lake to their house, I'm assuming, is a halfway decent distance, and I'm sure he would have dried off by the time he got there, but...
That makes sense. Know,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't my favorite of the three. Actually, I liked the other two pretty well, and we'll get into those, but this one was... if I had to put it in the category of being the who gives a shit column.
Yeah. I think... I don't know if... I mean, I know we all watch this on YouTube, but I know I've seen this movie before, and I could have swore that we got to see that wife naked. Now, I don't know if there's a rule against naked on YouTube or not, but I could have swore that there was some nudity in there.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
It felt very PG-13, a lot of side boob in the early makeout scene. I was like, come on, a little further.
Yeah, don't toy with me like that, you sons of bitches. So that's the first one. Now, Matt, you're the expert here. Let me ask you some questions. If you're selling that house, do you have to tell them the long story about the cheating whore wife and all that shit?
Absolutely not.
You don't.
unless you like to fuck with people like I do.
Nice.
You know, like there'll be times I go down into a dark basement that's got a big crawl space, and I'll start making comments like the last owner's last name was Gacy.
Nice.
And shit like that. Yeah, most time people don't get it. I just do it for myself. I got to have some fun while I work. But no, some states are a little bit different as far as what you have to disclose. And you don't definitely have to disclose the whole story. But in Maryland, it is actually against the law for me to tell somebody, to tell you as a prospective buyer if actually somebody died in the house.
Even if I ask?
Even if you ask, I cannot tell you. The reason for that is I'm not allowed to stigmatize properties, which could affect the property value. And so if I know, you know, if you ask me, you know, I can say, you know, whether it's an estate sale or not, because sometimes that's notated. But I tell people if they're really curious, you know, they can go online and check it out. I can't even tell somebody, like a family with kids, if there's sex offenders living next door.
Really?
I just have to, I have to point them to a website. I'll be honest, sometimes if I know for certain, and I had this happen before, where the folks are looking at a house, they had like four or five kids, and literally the house next door was a registered sex offender for, you know, child offenses. And, you know, I couldn't directly come out and tell them, but I gave them the strong, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, check out this website, you know, before you make an offer to make sure this is where you want to live. And, I think they picked up on the hint. But the only thing I'm allowed to honestly disclose is, one, if it was a meth lab or not, because that could affect the physical structure of the house, because the chemicals used, could affect the physical condition. But now, if there's a death or anything like that, I'm actually prohibited by law, and I can get into a lot of trouble if I tell anybody.
Wow.
With that said, around Halloween time, I do have the Not Haunted riders I put on all my for sale signs at the houses. So
nice.
So that's a good time. But yeah, no, so you... Definitely, you know, if your realtor tells you that, you know, something's going on in the house, at least here, they're definitely not supposed to.
Very cool. Well, now we know.
Yeah.
It's funny because when right before we bought this house, our real estate agent was showing us around. And just as a little, you know, me being the freako that I am, I'm like, did somebody die here at all the houses that we went to? And really, she just made fun of me and kept asking me if I was getting vibes. No, I'm not getting any vibes, you weirdo. I'm trying to be funny.
Well, I've told you guys before, man. I've had everything weird happen to me in the real estate. I've had dead people in houses. You know,
really?
That didn't go over well. And it was funny. Like, actually, there was a creepy vibe when we went into the house. I thought I might have written this into you guys. Maybe I didn't. This was probably about two and a half years ago. Showed a house to a guy, and... He's military. I showed him a lot of houses. We go into this one house. All the curtains are drawn, and like the TV is on in the lower level, and it's not blaring, but it's been on, but there's nobody there, and the rest of the house is kind of dark. And so we're walking around, and I get that kind of creepy vibe. And so anyway, we go upstairs, and all the lights in all the upstairs rooms are off. And I look in this one room, and I actually get a little bit of a jump scare because I thought I see somebody there. I'm like, oh shit. But then I look a little closer and it's dark and I couldn't find the light switch, and it was I thought it was a lamp. So I'm like, all right, so my heart settles down, I move on. I go in the other rooms to try to turn the lights on. I come back to that one room and my client's standing there and he's just staring into this room. And I'm like, what's going on? He just points, he doesn't say anything. And there's this old dude, I guess was the owner, sitting in the chair, slumped over dead.
Nice. There wasn't a big stack of VHS tapes laying around there, was there?
No. So we end up, I have to call the police. You know, they get there, we take a statement, you know, make sure I didn't kill him or nothing. my client decided to take a short hiatus from the buying market after that, so I didn't make a sale that day.
I imagine not. Jesus Christ.
I was like, wait a minute. I tried to find the house that, you know, where they had to tell you so I could find a really good bargain.
Yeah. Well, there's a. Did you ever read Lullaby by Chuck Palahniuk, Matt?
Sounds familiar. What's give me the premise?
Well, it's the overall story is there's like this poem that you can read people, and if you read it to them, they'll die immediately. But one of the outlying characters is a real estate agent who specializes in selling haunted estates. And she doesn't tell anybody that they're haunted, but people move in, they get the shit scared out of them, and they move out like 3 months later. So she ends up selling the same house four or five times a year, which is nice. Pretty badass.
Yeah.
It's a really good book. You guys should check that out. Anyway, moving right along. So now we get back to the wraparound, and John Ritter is showing this young couple the next house, which is the Bryan Cranston house.
Okay.
Now, this one, he's very insistent on asking them if they have any pets, and he gets into the Bryan Cranston story, which is presumably an attorney, his wife, and his young daughter living in this house. One day, he wakes up, and his daughter is in the backyard playing with a monkey. What are those, spider monkeys?
Yeah.
One of those little jammies?
Yeah.
It's one of those, the kind of monkey you find, you know, attached to the grinder. It does the dancing. You know what I'm saying?
Not really.
You never seen one of those?
Is that something that, like you like to go to like a special porno thing?
I like to grind my monkey every now and then. So the monkey is there, and, you know, of course the daughter wants to keep it, and Bryan Cranston's like, no, we're not keeping the fucking monkey. And they go back, basically for like a half an hour, they go back and forth. He's trying to get rid of the fucking thing. She's trying to keep it. The monkey is taking on like this evil persona because shit keeps getting fucked up and the dog dies and so on and so forth. And Buff Bagwell shows up.
Yeah, Buff the Stuff Bagwell.
You can see where...
Back to the early days there, fucking yeah. Buff Bagwell.
You can see where his career went. Wasn't he doing, like, Skinamax movies for a while?
Probably, I think so.
Buff Bagwell, if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, is a... What was he?
WCW
wrestler.
Yeah.
He played the... he was some kind of an exterminator or something in this. Bryan Cranston hires him to go get rid of the monkey.
Yeah.
Monkey pincushions him.
Oh, yeah, with knives.
Yeah, so that's the end of that.
And then he accidentally picks up the one of the knives and goes, oh, shit, I have my fingerprints on this.
Yeah, knife. So Bryan Cranston's just making his own situation worse by, instead of doing the right thing and calling the authorities, he just buries Buff Bagwell in his backyard.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
What was with the bodies in the trash bag? First, when that monkey killed the dog, he bags it up in a trash bag and hides it in the garage and sticks a box over it, and then he does the same thing to Buff Bagwell. I'll stick him in a bag, throw him in the garage, too.
You imagine that's going to start to smell, right?
Yeah,
how are you going to explain that?
Yeah.
Anyway, it culminates in this big struggle with a shotgun where Bryan Cranston is running around his house with a shotgun trying to kill the monkey.
His wife has her throat slit.
Yeah, well, I mean, he accidentally takes a shot at his wife, but luckily misses her.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah,
and that's funny. And then, you know, they think they're done with the monkey. He goes to bed that night, and then he wakes up, and his wife's throat is slit. And doesn't the monkey get him, too? Or does it kills the daughter too, doesn't it?
No.
No, I got the impression that the daughter is shot and killed.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And then she was catatonic after that.
That's right.
Because that thing, the bookshelf, I think, falls on, or the dresser falls on the monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little monkey pinned under the dresser, like, help me, help me.
Stupid, man. This is stupid. Come on. Killer monkey. This is an episode of The Family Guy, right?
Yeah.
Fucking killer monkey. Come on. Oh, we're talking about a killer monkey here, people.
Yeah.
Hey, but I like the little red outfit the monkey had on and the little fucking hat and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's dressed for, he's going to the club later. So that's your second story. Cut back to the old John Ritter. Well, he's obviously not going to sell that house.
Yeah.
Comes with a killer fucking monkey. Takes us to the last house there, where we get a story about a young man, and he's going to talk to a psychiatrist, and he's having these visions of a serial killer on the loose known as the Granny Killer.
Yeah.
Just probably the dumbest serial killer I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
He's having, every time the Granny Killer kills somebody, he gets like a neurotic vision of the death and where it's going to happen and who it's going to be and everything. So
I love the Granny Killer, man. I love the Granny Killer.
Stupid. Come on.
Don't be afraid. It's just Granny.
Dumb to Granny.
Come on, man. Yeah, so he's talking to the psychiatrist. The story's getting a little shaky. The psychiatrist is starting to get weirded out. I think she's drawing the conclusion that the kid is the Granny Killer.
Yeah.
And, you know, the visions are some kind of a neurotic block to where he doesn't want to admit culpability for it. So she arms herself, and the kid's like, well, you don't understand. The last vision I saw was of you getting killed by the Granny Killer.
Yeah.
So she pulls a letter opener on him, and she's like, you just back off, you fucker. And then there's like a struggle, and he lands on those, what is that? The pin thing that sticks up?
Yeah, you put papers on.
Yeah, it's like a, what do you call that?
A nail.
It's not a nail, you fuck. It's,
I don't know.
It's, you jab like receipts through it and shit. I don't know
what. Yeah, I don't know what it's called. It's one of those fucking things. But he lands on it, and it stabs him on the heart, accidentally. But he's still coming at her. She hauls ass for the elevator. Opens the elevator where the real Granny Killer is waiting. And then you know, the kid kind of throws her a gun or something like that, but she doesn't get to it, and the granny killer hacks her up.
Yeah.
That's pretty much your third story.
And then you finish the overall story where they're like, I'm out of here. We don't even want
the family's had enough of John Ritter and his antics, and he's like, make me a fucking offer. And they're like, we're out of here right now. And then...
Oh, he kills...
The husband.
Yeah.
But the wife makes it to the car, and she's hauling ass out of the neighborhood. And that's when you see the whole neighborhood falling apart.
You got a dead body in a swimming in the kiddie pool.
You got a wife chasing...
The woman shooting the guy.
Yeah, chases her husband out with a shotgun and blasts him. And then the monkey comes back and lands on the car windshield.
Yeah, Bobo shows up on the windshield.
This is nonsense. What'd you guys think of Terror Tract?
That was okay.
Dale, give me a power ranking of the three vignettes here.
Three, 2, 1 for me. I like from the granny. I like the granny killer, man.
I couldn't hang with the granny killer.
2, 1, 3.
I go probably 3, 1, 2. Yeah, 3, 1, 2. I couldn't get past the white trash boyfriend in the first one.
Yeah.
There's nothing I hate more in a horror film when the characters have an easy out and just continuously choose not to take it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like when the kids are in the house and they start getting bumped off, but they can't call the police.
Yeah.
Because they might get, you know, they might get blamed for it. Just call the fucking cops, you morons.
Yeah.
I hate that. Matt, give me a power rankings on the three vignettes here.
Did he?
Yeah, well, definitely 3, 2, 1. I did, you know, 3 and 2 were pretty close to me. I kind of, you know, I'll put it this way. If I was looking for good horror at, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, this probably wouldn't have fit the bill. But a good 9:30 in the morning watch like I gave this one. It's a good way to start the day. It's good little levity. You know, just because I am a real estate agent, I enjoyed the shit out of John Ritter.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace. But John Ritter's the man. I don't know if he was hard up for cash or why he did this movie.
He hit a little bit of a slump in his career.
It was fun and entertaining. I mean, none of it was in remotely what I would consider horror. You know, I loved, you know, the granny killer one, like when they're doing the dismembered limbs that were just blatantly like Halloween props of a leg and a hand thrown here and there. And I don't know, I enjoyed that one, so it was pretty good. I did feel for John Ritter, though. I've had plenty of clients I've wanted to stab in the neck with a pair of scissors.
Have your family ever been threatened if you didn't sell a house or anything like that?
No, I thought that was pretty crazy. No threatening. Luckily, I own my real estate company, so if there's anybody doing the threatening, it's me over here.
Very nice.
You know, but at the same time, now, I mean, realtors, you know, if you don't sell a house, you don't get paid. There's very rarely, like, in-house incentives or, I guess some of the bigger companies, there's, you know, competitions and things like that. You might get a little bit of a bonus, but, you know, it was funny. It was a good spoof on, I think, probably what people think are real estate agents. You know, I'm always betting that.
Yeah, I bet. I want to know who the hell he was talking to on the phone with the demon voice.
Well, that would be his broker. That's what we're called when we're the owners of real estate companies. I think it was the broker of the company there holding his family hostage.
Very nice. Matt, give me your best demon voice. Go.
What the fuck are you doing?
Sell the fucking house, asshole, or I'm going to eat your kid. Stupid. Terror Tract, I say if you want to watch a horror movie with your kid and it's you don't want to psychologically scar them in any way, that's probably a good way to go. Or if you just want to see some vintage Bryan Cranston doing some ridiculous overacting, that's another good way to go, too.
I was going to say... I don't think Darian's gonna really be cared about that. His child is gonna definitely be psychologically scarred from all the horror movies.
I'm gonna rule that kid with an iron fist.
I do think I'll probably show this one to my son in a couple years when he's a little older and can understand it, so he knows what daddy does for a living.
Yeah, that's a good way to go. Yeah.
scarred for life doing that.
I wouldn't mind moving to that neighborhood, though. It looks like a fun neighborhood.
I thought it looked pretty fun.
The houses were nice, right? Yeah.
From a realtor perspective, I will say this. Those people need, you know, the couple, you know, that decided not to buy in the end. That couple reminded me a lot of my clients, man. Obviously, they were newlyweds. They didn't have much of a budget, and they're looking to get one of those houses. They need to shut the fuck up and buy one of those houses and just deal with the history on it, man. I mean, everybody's got a beer budget with a wine taste, man. And that couple got served up some great houses as far as I'm concerned. Okay, somebody got killed there. Big fucking deal. Close your mouth. They're getting a great deal.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
That's why I was talking to multiple mics about this a while ago when we were with that insane asylum that was up for sale.
Uh-huh.
It's for like $100,000. You could buy a whole giant insane asylum.
Yeah.
He's like, I wouldn't buy that. I was like, dude, I'll buy it right now. I'll put it on my fucking MasterCard.
I want to move in.
Yeah. Nasty. All right.
How many rooms?
I mean, how many wards, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get into some immersion therapy then.
Immersion therapy.
Alrighty. This week we watched Black Forest from 2012. Did anybody make it through this movie?
I made it through.
I didn't. You watched the whole thing? What'd you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so apparently I owe everybody an apology. I'd like it noted, however, that this movie was in the horror movie section on Netflix.
Sure it was.
It was, you son of a bitch. And nowhere in the description did it say it was a sci-fi original picture. I'd like that noted also. Fucking assholes.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, Jesus. Matt, how far did you get into this one, dude?
I think I fell asleep shortly after the guy gets his ring finger cut off.
No, you might.
I don't know. It was a big... I woke up periodically throughout it at varying points. Honestly, it felt like I'd been asleep for hours, and the movie was still on when I woke up, so I don't know what was a dream and what was not.
Yeah.
But that was a fucking rough movie. I fell asleep more than once, because I woke up, watched another few minutes, fell back asleep, and thank God when I woke up the last time, it was just on the menu screen. That was, I thought I hated you after Oasis of the Zombie.
Yeah.
That's going to punch me in the face. Okay, clearly not a horror film, right?
Yeah.
More of a, it's a family film.
Yeah.
It's why is it in the horror section of Netflix?
I still don't believe you on that.
Well,
part.
Go fuck yourself anyway. you made it farther than I did, Matt, so congratulations on that. I started it and then I got pulled into this Juggalo debate on Facebook. So I'm battling this guy over Facebook while I'm trying to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Ended up just getting sucked into this troll and then not even watching the movie at all.
Yeah.
So.
I think your time was still better served than whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, guaranteed. But okay, it's a sci-fi original picture, so you're going to get a double scoop of shitty CGI, right? Yeah. Dale, give me a rundown of this movie since I didn't care to fucking pay attention.
Yeah, I don't even know how it ended, so please tell me.
Okay, trying to... you had, different stories, obviously, of... you had, the big bad wolf and all that, and they eventually... there was a girl taken, because they keep taking children so that they'll... become real, so that they kind of like drain them of their a belief in them. You find out that the woman that the hot chick that was in the cabin was actually a really old woman. She was just glamoring them, like making them see what they wanted. Like the one guy, his was the strongest, so it was his ex-girlfriend. Or wife or whatever who had died from
I got that far. He had like his what She was the spitting image of his dead wife, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're telling me is she needs to break these kids of their belief in fairy tales, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, they want to escape, and but
they want to escape the fairy tale dimension.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Then they find these, well, she know there's this area where there's like a lot of doors to different dimensions.
Okay.
Because remember how they said it's on that, it's on the one of those parallel lines where you can go to different dimensions. So they go to, she had a story about a ogre in a bridge, and he had an axe that can kill the wolf and human.
I did catch part of the wolf. There's like a wolf that's jacking people.
Yeah, well, right? it's human, a wolf in human flesh. Yeah, like, but it looks like a person.
Yeah, but you
the
get
wolf,
to
the wolf was the guide, right?
Yeah,
you did, but yeah, but it you do get to see the wolf too, right? Because I saw the wolf.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what it keeps changing back and forth.
Oh, okay.
And anyway, so they get to a point where they have they get caught by the ogre, and they have to say who it is, like, because it's like it looks like an old woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept going through like a couple of different names, and then he figured out it was him, and so they ended up beating him, and he vanishes, and but he gets injured, so he has to stay. And I'm trying to remember what exactly there was. So the younger guy, well, the two, you know, that's one that died from being eaten by the wolves. And the other guy and the girl and the baby escape.
Okay.
The one that was...
They make it back to real...
The mother, yeah.
Real reality?
Yeah. And okay. They, like, go up to a group and they're like, hey, we've been, like, stuck in the forest, like, in this weird, you know, in the forest and stuff. And they're like, well, you've been gone, like, I think it was, like, 15 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, time jump.
Yeah, so...
Did you like how they quantified... How they knew they were in a different universe or whatever the fuck it was at the beginning. The guy looks up, he's like, hey, these aren't the stars that are supposed to be out in Germany this time of year or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah,
I didn't catch that. But I wasn't really paying attention either.
Yeah, they're on a hill at night, and they're like, wait a minute, this isn't right. These aren't the right stars.
Yeah, because
boom, they're in a new universe.
Yeah, because that's how I'd figure it out, totally.
Yeah.
Stupid. Fucking sci-fi original pictures.
But anyway, yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Yeah, bad times.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, all right, I'm sorry. But like I said, it was in the Netflix. It was in the horror section of Netflix.
Sure it was.
You suck a dick, you bastard. Your immersion therapy for this week is going to be Seasoning House from 2012, starring Rosie Day and Sean Pertwee, directed by Paul Hyatt.
Was that also on the Sci-Fi Channel?
I don't think so. But it doesn't say on Netflix where it came from, so... Oh. I don't. It has something to do with a sex ring, workers. Okay. So that should be a little bit better, I hope.
Yeah.
No CGI wolves or any of that shit. Very cool, Matt. You seen Seasoning House from 2012?
I am not looking forward to it, and I'll weigh in with my opinion on it next week.
Sounds good, brother. Let's get into some. What are you looking at?
What are you looking at?
Alrighty. Dr. Dale, you watch any horror movies this week?
Yeah, I watched Gallows Walkers.
Oh, the Wesley Snipes one?
Yeah.
I saw that on Netflix. Any good?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah?
It was pretty good.
Wait, is it Western, yeah?
Yeah, like he gets cursed where everybody he shoots comes back to life and he has to re-kill them.
As zombies or...
Yeah, like kind of like Walking Dead. They kind of like zombies a little bit. They have to like take people's flesh and put it on them.
Oh,
because their flesh kind of rots away.
Did he do this after he got out of the joint? Or
yeah,
he's out so. Now, right?
I think it was a pretty recent one.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. Anything else, man?
No, that was it.
That's it. Crack House Matt. Any horror movies this week?
Yeah, you know, I finally watched The Purge this week. Came out on Cinemax. I don't know why I hadn't watched it before. That was I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, man. Love that movie. The next one's coming out in June. I don't know if you've seen
it. That's right. I heard that.
I don't know if you've seen the previews, but it's about a young couple that gets caught outside during the purge.
Nice. Well, hopefully they take it the route. I think a lot of people wanted it to go with the first one and just show the sheer carnage of what can happen during the purge.
That's what it looks like. It looks a lot more violent and, you know, a lot more gang warfare and stuff like that. That'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, Darian, real quick about the purge, though.
Yo.
Purge happens real life. You barring yourself indoors, or are you out killing some motherfuckers?
Well, see, I think that's kind of the point of the purge, is to let the animals kill themselves. Now, a 25-year-old Darian would be out on the hunt. 35-year-old Darian with a wife and a kid on the way probably stays home and just, you know, protects them. Although, I'll be honest with you, there's some people I would love to put in the ground.
Why are you looking at me?
Some people I would love to put in the ground.
Hey.
I watched a few movies this week. Night of the Demons from 1988. Got the limited edition Blu-ray from Shout Factory.
Oh, cool.
Pretty good stuff. I'll tell you what, though. Linnea Quigley.
Yeah.
In high definition Blu-ray.
All sketchy.
I mean, I remembered her being a lot hotter. I mean, she's still pretty smoking hot from the neck down.
Yeah.
But when you get the high definition with all the, you can really like see all the pock marks and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're a lot younger back then too.
That's true. Irma Gersh may have a good point about her. next up, The Cold Eyes of Fear. Have you heard of this one? It's from 1971. It's a, you seen those redemption movies? You know what I'm talking about? They're like really sleazy movies, and they start with this weird topless demon chick that comes out, and she's got fangs, and she's usually rubbing blood on somebody's breasts or something like that. You know what I'm talking about, Matt? The redemption movies? Yeah. It's one of those. Redemption is like the company that puts them out, but they always throw in this weird demon chick little snippet at the beginning of her like rubbing blood on her boobs.
Well, no, I'm not too familiar.
He's like, oh, I'm gonna have to check that out now. Anyway, it's one of those. It's basically a home invasion from 1971. We find out that there's some dirty cops involved. Not anything really to write home about unless you're really looking for sleazy 1970s films.
Yeah.
House at the End of the Street. You seen this one? Jennifer Lawrence?
The Jennifer Lawrence movie?
Yeah. You seen that one, Matt?
Yeah, I did, actually. Yeah, I saw that one on Netflix not too long ago.
What'd you think?
Yeah, it was decent. I like Jennifer Lawrence a lot, so, you know, she kind of carried the movie for me. But, but overall, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good flick.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. It's just you could see the twist coming from the first 5 minutes.
No surprise.
Yeah, you knew that was coming. I did enjoy her running around sweaty in a wife beater, though. I thought that was pretty hot. So you got that going for you. Asylum from 1972. This is a Hamicus film. So it's got that, you know, that early 70s schlock to it.
Yeah.
It's actually an anthology piece. Not too bad, not that great either. It kind of reminded me a lot of the original Tales from the Crypt.
Okay.
Vault of Terror style. And lastly, The Fog from 1980. Got that one from Unlimited Edition Blu-ray also.
Oh, cool.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, you got to love The Fog, right?
Yeah.
You seen The Fog?
Well, the remake.
You haven't seen the original?
No.
How dare you. Matt, you've seen The Fog, yeah?
I think I'm confusing The Fog with The Mist.
The Fog is the one where the fog comes out and attacks the sleepy oceanside town. You get the whole town.
Oh, yeah. I saw it a long time ago.
Jamie Lee Curtis and Tom Atkins.
Yeah, that was one of the early teen horror movies I think I watched. That one came out, 1980?
1980. The remake had the guy from Smallville, I think.
I don't know. The remake was shitty.
Yeah.
A terrible remake. That's probably the worst remake ever, I think. Anyway, I watched that. Got that limited edition Blu-ray from Scream Factory, or Shout Factory. Very cool stuff.
Yeah.
That's it for me. You guys see anything else this week or no?
No.
Didn't see anything. I'm starting to make my way through the haunted vagina that you send me as my Terror Dome prize pack.
Very nice. It's pretty silly, right?
Yeah, it's Good times.
Yeah, right on. That's a short read, too. I think I read that whole book while I was on the crapper. Ironically enough.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for that. Let's get into some Company of Wolves action. On a full moon Sunday.
The Company of Wolves.
As we're recording this, it is Sunday the 16th of March, the full moon.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed or not, but I'm still a little under the weather. I'm going to try and get out there anyway, though. Yeah. You got anything planned for today?
Sleep.
That's all you're going to do?
I got to go to work tonight.
Matt, how about you, man?
Yeah, I'm sure you can hear. I'm still a little sick. Since you're going, I'm always get... I'm a sucker for peer pressure, so I'll probably get out there and try to log a couple miles or two on the old treadmill, but I can't see myself doing much more than that, at least today.
Dude, between me and you, we cannot let Nicole win this month.
I don't know what she's
sitting at right now, but I know it's a lot more than I got. Let's take a look at the impromptu standings. I only ran once this month.
Oh.
Son of a bitch.
She's at 22.7 miles. Jesus. I'm at about 15.
As it stands, I'm in seventh place. Jesus. I got her at 26.8.
Do you really? All right, mine must not be updated.
Fucking cocks.
Who's it?
Son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah, there it is. 26.88.
Yep.
And Sarah Kazis is... 0.2 of a mile behind me.
Yeah,
I gotta
dude.
Get better.
You're almost a full 10 miles in front of me, you son of a bitch.
Everybody.
You made that up in one run, man.
I'm sitting at 7th place, god damn it. I gotta get off my ass. That's all there is to it. good news, though, is that we got the last of the sizes and addresses in. So you all can expect your werewolf shirts in the mail here shortly. Hopefully I can make the order tomorrow. So that'll be coming very soon. Other than that, I think that's all I got on the Company of Wolves. What are you looking at?
I see who's never sits even beating you.
Yeah, I know, right?
She's
pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually getting beat by my wife right now. She's almost a half mile ahead of me.
Well, I did want to, for the Company of Wolves, if I wasn't on this week, I was going to write in and agree with GP. The intro to me does sound like the wolf has been kicked in the nads or something.
Is it just that first howl that sounds like that?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's because of the music that's kind of dubbed with it. It's like...
I'm gonna clip that, and I'm gonna loop that. Congratulations, Matt!
Yeah, you're now part of
the intro.
Very good, very good.
Other than that, inmates, I think that's all we got for the week. Crackhouse Matt, thank you so much for joining us, old friend.
Oh no, thank you guys so much for having me. It was a pleasure. I'd certainly love to do it again. And thank you to Kreese for making the recommendation. I hope I didn't let everybody down out there, but it was a great time. Thank you guys so much.
And that's it for the week, inmates. For the Padded Room Podcast, Sexual Dr. Dale and Crackhouse Matt, afraid visiting hours are over.
Take your sedatives.
Bye.